Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you here on a Thursday. It's going to rain later today, or mid-70s. I love it. If you were listening to the morning show, you were watching on the YouTube stream, you saw, brought my brand new golf driver in. So I have not used it yet. Got fitted for a golf driver. First time in my life. Ready to rock and roll with this thing. And I'm like, I got to go to the range and hit. So today I'm going to do that. And I said, you know what? It's going to rain. Looks like rain around 1:30 maybe. So I got to get it in. As soon as this show ends at noon, I am, bam, out of here. Going to the range, hitting that new golf driver, and hopefully, hopefully feeling good about it. Who knows, right? It's golf. I always say to my son, you know, I mean, if you have any kids out there who play Little League, baseball, softball, right? I mean, even probably any other sport, hockey, whatever. My son's 11. And he's always like, yeah, this bat's the best. This bat's the best. I got to get this bat. I'm like, dude, it's not the bat. It's the kid swinging it. And then I say, but isn't that the same thing with me and my golf equipment? Probably right. So we'll see what happens when I get out there today. The Bills, still reaction coming in, not only from their draft, but the signing of Elijah Moore. They sign Elijah Moore after they draft one wide receiver in this draft. That's in the seventh round. That's Caden Prather from Maryland. And joining us right now on the West Her Hotline is Jeff Ehrman. He is a writer at Inside MD Sports, follows the Maryland Terrapins, and he's on the West Her Hotline. Jeff, it's Sal Capaccio here in Buffalo. How are you?
Hey, Sal. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for doing this today. I really appreciate it.
Sure.
All right, so tell us a little bit about what the Bills are getting in a football player in Caden Prather.
Yeah, you know, he's a nice prospect, 6'3", 210, really good size, had a couple good years at Maryland before that, had about 600 yards receiving at West Virginia, so he was pretty productive, not, you know, overly explosive, but, you know, last year they had another guy, Ty Felton, obviously went to the Vikings in the third round, who was getting the bulk of the targets, and also, you know, last year I feel like Prather was a victim of more bad throws, I think, than I've ever seen one receiver. So his stats could have been a lot better. There were a lot of misfires from the quarterback last year. He still had 600 yards for the second year in a row. His yards per catch were down a little bit from almost 16 to 11. But, you know, he's a guy that I think is worth a late-round flyer. With that size, he runs a 4.4. You know, he's a guy who might have a chance to stick and make some plays there.
Why did he last to the seventh round? Was that expected? Do you think it's just because of the production? Because you look at the size and the speed. He's got all that combo that you would think maybe a team would like him a little bit earlier than that.
Yeah, I think it's because he just doesn't have that one thing to hang your hat on. He's not exceptionally fast. He has very good speed for his size, but he's not exceptionally fast or explosive. You know, he had some drop issues at times, and you know they did want him to be more consistent at times. So you know, with a guy like that, you're kind of getting some raw materials with the size and speed, and you're hoping you can polish him up. But you know, he just didn't have one thing that really differentiates him.
How about special teams? If you're going to come in the NFL as a seventh round pick at wide receiver, you're going to have to play special teams to carve out a role to stick on a roster. How about that aspect of his game?
You know, I don't think he played a lot of special teams. I agree with you. He definitely will need to create some value for himself there. He was a good blocker downfield, so I think, you know, it's not that he's not a physical guy. I think there's a chance that he could be a solid special teamer.
All right, what about the human being? What kind of person are the Buffalo Bills getting in their locker room in Caden Prather and person we're getting here in our Western New York community?
He seems like a solid kid, you know, nothing outstanding in either direction, really. Kind of a quiet, understated guy. You know, like I said, there were some times where Maryland wanted to see a little more motor from him, you know, so he's a guy you'll have to keep motivated, I'm sure. You know, playing in the NFL for a paycheck is obviously a much different situation, so he should have some motivation there. But, you know, never haven't heard any bad things about him.
Joining us right now, Jeff Ehrman. He covers Maryland football and basketball. Jeff, how has it gone for Maryland now switching into the Big Ten over the last couple of years and how everything's – they were ACC staples for a while. I went to Syracuse, yeah. So used to seeing them. How's it gone for them in that conference?
Yeah, it's been up and down. You know, they did have three – at the beginning of Mike Locksley's tenure, they were really struggling. Then they had three straight years of going to bowl games. They fell off a little bit last year. Went 4-8 overall, but you know they've moved an upward trajectory. The only catch being that they haven't quite been able to pull off that big win against Ohio State or Michigan. They've had a few close calls, so that's kind of the next step that the fans are waiting for, along with a rebound from last year.
And you had a big coaching change in basketball as well recently. You know, and I'm a big Buzz fan, by the way. I really love him going back to his days at Marquette and watching him. What's been the reaction there for the change in coach at in basketball?
The fans are loving it now because they're getting recruits. You know, that's what it comes down to, obviously. And he got there a month ago. He already has 9 players, including some really good recruits. And, you know, Maryland fans love basketball, obviously. You know, they like football, but basketball, it's unusual in that way. Most schools, it's the opposite, obviously. So, you know, I think they're pretty happy with what they've seen so far, but, you know, we haven't seen anything on the court yet.
All right, so a few guys came into the league also, not only Caden Prather with the Buffalo Bills. A guy a lot of Bills fans really wanted is Jordan Phillips, a defensive tackle who ironically has the same name as Bills player Jordan Phillips, yeah, who's been on the team for quite a while. He goes to the Miami Dolphins, ironically the same team that drafted the other Jordan Phillips years ago from Oklahoma. Yeah. What kind of fit will Jordan Phillips be on the Miami Dolphins, a team that used an early pick on Kenneth Grant at the same position?
I think he'll be better than people realize. At Maryland, it was kind of read and react philosophy, so he didn't really go after the quarterback a ton. The guy is an absolute tank, 6'3", 320, exceptionally strong. Maybe did the most reps of any tackle or defensive tackle in the draft. So, you know, I don't think he's going to be a guy that jumps off the screen with a ton of sacks and things like that, but I think he'll be a really good NFL player.
Ty Felton, he gets drafted in the 3rd round. That is a wide receiver. The Bills obviously take the other wide receiver, Caden Prather. What about his prospects at the next level?
Yeah, I mean, he should have the best career out of the 6 guys who were drafted out of Maryland. You know, he's really fast. He had some drop issues earlier in his career, which he seemed to have resolved. Super high character kid, set the school record for receptions last year. They pretty much targeted him, you know, what seemed like on every other play. Really durable, good hands, you know, and going to Minnesota where you have Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson, obviously, he should get a ton of open looks, you would think.
Jeff, I know that you used to be at the Washington Post. I'm looking at your profile. If you have anything to offer at all on the new stadium that's happening in that area, good. I hope you do, because we just went through this. We're actually here in Buffalo in Western New York. The Bills' new Highmark Stadium, 1 year left of the current stadium. They'll be moving into their new stadium. So we went through this process. What's it been like in Maryland? And is it really just kind of done, or is there a lot more to go?
No, I think it's pretty much done. You know, there is obviously, as you know, backlash from some circles, especially some people who live in that area don't want it there for obvious reasons, but it's going to get done. They put out a rendering the other day that looked amazing, and it's a huge moment for all the long-suffering Redskins/Commanders fans who've, you know, finally last year got to watch an exciting winning team for the first time in a while. They have big hopes for the team in the future, and now they have a stadium in D.C., which everyone has wanted, you know, for years, because the one that they currently are in is not popular. It's kind of out in the suburbs, you know, a long metro ride and then a walk. It's not the nicest stadium. So everybody is ecstatic about the new stadium.
And this is going to be right where RFK used to be, and I guess currently is. It's still standing, right?
Yeah, yep. It's going to be right there where I watched Art Monk and the other guys play as a kid.
I'm glad that's the name you brought up because he's a Syracuse guy. So that's really cool. You know, Art Monk, you know, but all right. So real quick. So you just to, as long as we're here, what is the reaction to the Commanders draft, especially after the really nice season they had last year?
Yeah, I think they had a good draft. You know, my son, who actually follows the draft stuff beyond religiously, thought it was solid, thought they should have gotten a pass rusher maybe earlier or a running back. Those were two spots they needed. But they're kind of at a point now where, you know, you take the best available player for the most part. Yeah. They filled some holes pretty nicely in free agency. And with what moves that this management team has made since they arrived compared to what we witnessed before, you really can't second-guess them on anything right now.
No, I agree with that. Jaden Daniels looks like he's a superstar. I'm sure that people are just absolutely thrilled with, you know, on the field, off the field, everything about this young man.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, he's amazing. He's the best rookie quarterback I think I've ever seen, both in terms of ability and poise and intangibles. And, you know, Commanders fans, I think that we've witnessed one playoff win in the past 20 years, something like that. So, you know, to get him almost feels unreal.
Do you cover, follow, a fan of hockey at all after last night, the Capitals taking care of business?
No, I used to be a huge Caps fan, and my interest has kind of faded over the years, but I know that they're still, you know, year in, year out, really solid.
Yeah, they're going to the second round, obviously a big win in the series last night. Yep. Jeff, thanks for joining us here on WGR. People can find your work at Jeff_Ehrman, with two N's, by the way. He is a writer and founder of Inside MD Sports, so make sure you check him out right there, and we appreciate you joining us here today. And who knows, maybe down the road something happens with another Bills affiliate with Maryland or something with the Commanders, we'll reach out again.
Sounds great, Sal. Appreciate you having me.
You got it. That is Jeff Ehrman on the West Her Hotline. Speaking of Caden Prather, he did meet with the media as well as the other draft picks of the Buffalo Bills. We've been bringing you these Zoom calls all week here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. So why not bring you Caden Prather, the seventh round choice of the Buffalo Bills out of Maryland.
Hey, Caden, congratulations. What was it like when you heard your name after a long wait being drafted by the Bills here?
Oh, yeah. I was out there playing cornhole with my family. Phone was in my pocket. I wasn't really expecting a call, but when I got the call, man, I took off. I ran. Yeah, it was pure. I can't even explain it. I'm sitting here trying to explain it. It's the most unexplainable feeling there is. So I really can't even explain it, man. It's just truly a blessing.
What do you think you clocked in terms of your speed after you took off running?
Woo! It would have been a 40. It would have been a 40-yard dash combine record. Absolutely.
What are you bringing to the table for the Bills offense? I know you're a speed guy, good size. Anything that you'd like to comment on beyond that?
Absolutely. You know, my availability. You know, I'm not a person who, you know, gets hurt often or, you know, takes time off of games. I'm always going to be around. And, you know, whether I have to, you know, go up and, you know, catch a 50-yard pass or, you know, whether I have to turn a 5-yard pass to a 20-yard gain, you know, it's, you know, I'm just always trying to find a way to, you know, win. You know, at the end of the day, Buffalo's going to find a winner.
What do you feel you need to improve to put yourself in the best position to earn a contributing role here?
Absolutely. You know, I think the name of the game for a wide receiver is just catching the ball. And, you know, sometimes on my film, I had a drop here or a drop there. And, I'm sorry. Can you guys still hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay, yeah. And, you know, as soon, you know, as I, you know, I feel like that's, I've been working on that the most, you know, just keeping my tools sharpened and, you know, catching balls on a jugs machine, catching tennis balls, working on my hand-eye coordination. And, you know, once I'm able to come down with every pass, then I think everything's going to be good. So if anything that, you know, I'll continue to work on every day. And, you know, one thing I've been working on is just, you know, catching the ball.
You got people calling you? Is that why it keeps freezing?
Yeah, it's yeah. I'm sorry, guys.
No worries. No worries. Big day. Congratulations. Thanks a lot.
Hey, Caden, Catherine Fitzgerald from the Buffalo News. Congratulations.
Absolutely. Thank you.
We just talked to Brandon Bean, and he was saying that when, you know, you met Ronald Curry, the quarterback's coach, you really impressed him with your work ethic. Tell us more about your work ethic. Like, what is it like? What is it, you know, so notable that the GM of the team is telling us about it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm just a guy that, you know, enough is never enough for me. You know, I'm never content in my work. I always find ways to get better. You know, You know, even if I have a career high game, or, you know, even if I have the worst game of my life, you know, I'm going to wake up the next morning and figure out how I can get better for my teammates.
This whole process, was there anything that surprised you about the draft process? Just kind of, you know, it's months and months of going through all these meetings and everything. Just what has it been like looking back at all that?
Really, I just say, you know, just, you know, meeting all the guys that, you know, that the media may portray a bad image of, or, you know, just, you know, the guys who you think is a superstar and that's too cool. You know, everybody, you know, had one mission, one goal, and it's to get where, you know, we're at today. So, you know, pretty much, you know, the whole process, it was honestly a blessing. You know, I've seen a lot of things that I, you know, haven't seen before, and I learned a lot of things that I haven't learned before. So it was honestly just a blessing.
And then what's the idea like of playing with Josh Allen?
Oh, my goodness, man, did I get lucky? Did I get lucky? That's truly a blessing right there. Playing with Josh, like, I literally can't wait. You know, I'm going to be a sponge. I'm going to try my best to hang up under him as much as I can, as long as I can, until he gets tired of me.
Awesome. Congratulations. And we'll see you soon.
Thank you.
KP, Mookie Hawkins, Ruffles, of course, 1080. Congratulations.
Appreciate you. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. So, just kind of talk about what are the emotions like for you? I mean, especially, you know, as getting into the seventh round here. So what was it like for you emotionally just to hear your name being called?
It was a big weight off my shoulders. I actually, towards the end of the sixth, you know, I gathered everyone who came to see me, and, you know, I just told them, thank you. You know, thank you guys for coming. You know, the people around me really helped me. You know, hold my emotions together. You know, that's a reason why I didn't have a big draft party. I kept family around, because just in case things didn't go my way, I wanted people around me that I loved. You know, at the end of the six, you know, I gathered them all around. I said, it's not looking too good, y'all. I appreciate y'all. You know, some tears of joy, you know, cried a little bit. But, you know, once that name got called, or once I seen Buffalo Bills pop up across my phone, everything went out the window. I didn't care. I didn't care if this was the 14th round. I didn't care, man. I'm just blessed.
What was the first thing that came to your mind when last that phone started ringing?
Buy a couple coats and get an all-wheel drive car.
So, I mean, what is it like for you to get the opportunity to play with a contending team?
Quite frankly, you know, I have a winning personality, you know. I say I'm a winner myself. So, you know, my college career, I didn't have too many games won. So to be able to, just to simply be able to be a part of a winning organization, you know, winning takes away everything. You know, it don't matter if you win 1-2, 7-9, 12-13, 21-20, or 50-20. When you win, it's a different feeling. So I'm glad that, you know, I'm with a team that's, you know, that's in the Super Bowl conversation.
Absolutely, man. Hey, wish you nothing but the best. Congratulations, and welcome to Buffalo.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Caden, Elena Getzenberg, ESPN. I was just curious, you were one of at least six Maryland guys to get drafted, to have your, you know, team be, you know, looked at in that way. What is that like?
Oh, I know the work me and those guys put in. Any of my other guys that got drafted before me, I was running on the wall, jumping through the ceiling, more than happy for them. Because, you know, the late night conversations, the late nights studying plays, the blood, the sweat, the tears, the ups, the downs. I know what we went through. And, you know, just to see my guys get drafted, man, they deserved it. They deserved it. Absolutely. We all deserved it. So it's truly a blessing to see it. I'm glad they can feel what I feel.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, I was just curious, now that you're there with your family and get to, like, have this off your back, like, what are the plans? Are you going to celebrate some?
Oh, no, it's time to get to work, honestly. I was just talking to my trainer. He gave me that look. You know, this is it's definitely something to celebrate, absolutely, because everyone doesn't get that call. But we ain't satisfied at all, so we're going to get right back to work.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I mean, yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. Yes, I'm sorry. It's a lot. I'm sorry.
It's all good, Caden. It's all good, Caden. I'm sure Elena understood as well. It's a big moment in that young man's life to get drafted. He joins us on a Zoom call. Everything's kind of spinning for him. It's like, no, it's time to get to work. Just talking to my trainer, going to get out there. So the Bills will hold rookie minicamp next weekend. So these players that they've drafted, the rookies that are undrafted free agents, they'll come to town next week for rookie minicamp. They'll be here for rookie minicamp next weekend and get acclimated here. The Bills have 89 players on their roster. That includes all the drafted players who haven't officially signed contracts yet. That includes all the undrafted free agents who eventually will sign contracts before they step on the field. When I posted the roster, and I do this all the time at Sal Sports, you can check it out. I always post the roster. I have some color-coded, you know, things, drafted, UDFA, free agent signing. The rest is just guys who have been here. And some of you said, well, where's the rookie minicamp invites? I'm not putting them on the roster because they're just rookie minicamp invites. If they make the roster, they'll get added. There is one spot to add somebody. So rookie minicamp invites are tryouts, essentially. So those will happen. And the reason you have a bunch of those every year is, well, you can't have a real rookie minicamp with just the actual rookies you have in your roster. And there are some second and third year players who actually qualify for rookie minicamp. As long as they haven't played a certain amount in the NFL, they can be there. But generally, it's, you know, still your rookies, guys you drafted, undrafted free agents, maybe a couple guys that were young last year played in the practice squad. Like, could a Daquan Hardy possibly be there? I'm not sure what his status would be possibly. He was on the practice squad all year, but I'd look at that. Things like that. Like, could be guys like that. The point I'm making is they'll have more guys than just the UDFAs and the drafted guys. And they will have tryout players, guys who get rookie minicamp invites. And from there, you never know. There could be a player or two they really like and say, you know what? We're adding them. That's what happened last year with Joe Andreessen. Joe Andreessen actually went to the Chiefs rookie minicamp. They did not sign him. And then he went to the Bills rookie minicamp and they signed him. And he wound up not only signing, and it was this great story, and everybody talked about, oh yeah, rookie kid. Even I probably came on the radio and said, great for him. You know, he'll be wound up cut and make the practice squad. That didn't happen. He made the team. And it wasn't just some feel-good PR local kid story. He earned it. He deserved it. So you never know. So much so where I would say that this year, I've been predicting, I will continue to predict right now, the way it stands, I think Joe Andreessen beats out Bale Inspector for this backup middle linebacker role. I think Bale Inspector's just been a little bit too injured. You got Joe on a minimum rookie deal for two more years. Because as an undrafted free agent, he signed a three-year deal. Bale Inspector's going to the last year of his contract. I just think a lot of it makes sense. As long as Joe Andreessen continues to show what he showed last year, I think he makes the team. So that just goes back to, you never know what you're going to get from these rookie minicamp tryouts. And guys could wind up signing actual roster contracts to be on the NFL team. And then they go to training camp, you have 90 guys. And we'll see where it goes. Somebody asked me about the Bills getting 91 this year. I don't think that's the case. I'll check in to make sure. What happens sometimes is they do get you could get an international guy that's exempt, but I got to see exactly what the rules are again this year. Sometimes it changes 90, 53, all those kinds of things that are possibilities. But the NFL has expanded that program, the International Pathways program, sometimes as well. All right, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, Jonathan Peterlin's going to join us here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. What are the Bills getting in Elijah Moore? He is a radio host in the afternoon on The Fan in Cleveland. All right, tune in for a special edition of Sports Talk Saturday with Brian Cozio. This Saturday, 2 to 5 p.m., live at Batavia Downs. We're going to count down the 151st Kentucky Derby. Batavia Downs is hosting several exciting events, including the Derby Gala, the Park Place Derby Lunch Special, and a Derby Party at 34 Rush. Watch the thrilling Run for the Roses, enjoy delicious food, drink specials, and don't miss your chance to win Derby shirts and glasses and their exclusive drawings. Join the fun at Batavia Downs this Saturday. I won't be there, but I will be joining Brian on the phone at 3 o'clock on Saturday as part of this. We're going to talk some derby, some golf, some Elijah Moore joining the Bills, Bills roster, draft, everything. So we'll be doing that as well. Speaking of the derby, tomorrow Josh will not be here tomorrow, but Evan will be in producing, and Evan and I will play Kentucky Derby Survivor. We're going to miss you, man. We're going to play Kentucky Derby Survivor.
I could call in.
Yeah, you could do that.
I could call in from the trails. I don't know where I'll be at.
We're going to eliminate horses one by one for whatever reason we want until we get to one horse to win the Kentucky Derby that we're going to be rooting for. So we'll do that tomorrow here on the Northtown and Automotive Extra Point Show. In the meantime, we're going to welcome in Jonathan Peterlin. He is a host on The Fan in Cleveland, 92.3. And we reached out to ask him a little bit about Elijah Moore and the Cleveland Browns draft. Jonathan, it's Sal Capaccio here in Buffalo. Good to talk with you.
Sal, how's it going today? What's up?
I'm all right. I know you were on the station earlier this week, and this is before the Bills signed Elijah Moore. So now we got something actually concrete that has happened here. So I know it was a different time slot, too. So let's educate our Extra Point Show audience with Elijah Moore, the football player. He goes to Cleveland for a couple of years. Okay numbers, not the most incredibly productive, but why don't you tell us about his journey over the last 2 years and his time in Cleveland?
It's funny, when I joined the guys in the morning, you know, I've known Joe for a long time, so like, you know, Joe asked me to come on, and I'm like, I didn't want to burst his bubble a little bit there. I was like, I don't think he's going to end up with the Bills. Like, I don't see that happening. And then here we are. So the morning show knew something that I didn't, that's for sure. And it's not because I had so much belief he was going to end up back in Cleveland. But there is a good spot here, obviously. As you guys know, Josh Allen makes everybody better. And if I were to say any defense of Elijah Moore, he really had bad quarterback play over the past couple years. There was a lot of plays where Elijah Moore was open, and just whatever quarterback, pick your quarterback you want, whether that was Deshaun, whether that was Jameis, whether that was Flacco, whether it was P.J. Walker, whether it was DTR, they just didn't have the ability to get it to him. Now, I'm not saying he's a game changer. I'm not saying he's going to be great for you guys either. But I do think there was some left on the table there. What I will say in his behalf, though, Sal, and I think this is worth noting, he was a much better teammate and locker room guy, by all accounts and everyone I talked to, than when we were getting him from the Jets that everyone told me he was.
What do you mean by that? You were hearing things that he's kind of a guy that they didn't really – that's why they maybe traded him? Maybe he just wasn't fitting in personality-wise, but in Cleveland, no issues at all?
Well, with the Jets, what happened is that he got very frustrated in year two in particular about what was going on with his receptions and his targets, and he was pretty vocal about what was going on with his lack of targets and receptions. And I didn't have any of that in Cleveland. I didn't hear any of that. I didn't see any of that. And by all accounts, everyone liked him.
Well, he had over 100 targets each of the last 2 years, right? So you can't say that they didn't at least try to incorporate him into the offense. And I guess, you know, that part of it at least was somebody that they at least thought that could really help them.
Yeah, I mean, no question. It's just the only thing I would say is I don't want to come on here sounding like Elijah Moore's publicist, because 5 years from now, I'll forget he even played for the Browns. I really don't want to give you guys the impression that you're getting something that's going to like drastically change your team and be amazing. I think there is some good football left in there, but there was way more forgettable games than there was memorable games. I referenced that Denver game where Jerry Jeudy played much better than he did in that game. But like, you get like two or three games a year with Elijah Moore where you're like, that's the talent, that's where it is. And outside of that, it's just a lot of just mediocre to even some games where he just was a complete non-factor.
All right, 5'10", 180, brings a little bit of speed here, but we've heard about his ability to separate. Doesn't have to be straight line down the field, but a route runner, separator. Yep. Very similar to what the Bills signed in Joshua Palmer, actually, to be honest with you. Would you agree with that? What kind of traits does he have as a receiver?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be a go-ball guy, and he's going to be able to separate, and he's going to be able to – and that's why I think Josh Allen will be great for him. You know, Josh Allen is so good with the deep throw and so much better as far as his accuracy as we watched him grow in the NFL. And so, like, I think there was a lot of opportunities, as I mentioned, where he was open deep, and whether it was a quarterback like DTR, for instance, that could only and would only look at half the field, or a P.J. Walker – that just wasn't able to get it to him when he was open. Like, there were often times where you looked at the tape afterwards and you're like, Elijah Moore had some separation there and something could have happened and just nothing materialized.
He actually had, I'm looking, he has 20 carries in his NFL career. Did the Browns use him in any capacity where they'd like to get him the ball in other ways other than just throwing it to him down the field?
It was just every now and then you get like some of those like gadget plays that Stefanski likes. And that was really about it. Nothing memorable sticking out in that way.
Okay, Kevin Stefanski, speaking of him, what is his status going into this year? There's a two-time NFL Coach of the Year, but obviously they're also a team that you know, did not finish well last year, didn't have a very good season. What's the fans' outlook on him, and where you think the organization's outlook is on him?
Organizationally, they're telling us that he's got time, but Sal, you've been around the NFL long enough. How is it that you're now in year six and you got one playoff win and you feel like you got the longest runway out of anybody in the NFL? Mm-hmm. Like, just make it make sense. That's just not how the league works. 6 years in, one playoff win, you should have been fired 3 years ago is how that works. So I'm of the belief that Stefanski's got to start showing people, now that you got a stacked quarterback room, and by stacked, I mean just being full, not necessarily stacked with talent, but a full quarterback room, you got to show people why you actually are the guy that you continue to think that you are in Kyle Shanahan. Make something out of nothing and show us your value. And if you can't, then yeah, I'd say get rid of him after this year. But organizationally, they really do believe in Stefanski and Barry and Paul DePodesta and that little trio they have built up. And Jimmy Haslam is, for the first time in a long time, shown extreme patience with a structure that he's built. And so if I were to tell you he's fired after this year, that would make sense to me. If I was running the team, he would have been fired after last year. But I think he's got a longer leash, and I think he feels like he's got a longer leash because so far it's been proven out.
Jonathan Peterlin, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Everything you've heard over the last 5 days, putting it all together, what exactly happened with all of Shadur Sanders' stuff and ultimately getting to him, why they drafted him? We even watched the video, people wondering, was this a Haslam pick? It doesn't look like they're super excited. Are we reading too much into that? Just the whole situation specifically on him and drafting Dillon Gabriel before that. What do you make of it, and how did it all play out?
All right, a couple things there. So, I mean, I heard that it was not a Haslam pick, but I heard it from people within the Browns. So, what do you think they're going to tell me? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
They're not going to tell me anything otherwise. So, I believe it was a Haslam pick. I will go, for as long as Shador is there, good or bad, giving credit or admonishing it to Jimmy Haslam. And on that front, if you're Haslam, I don't know why you'd even be shying away from this one. I think it's a good pick. I think there was good value there. Other thing, though, I have heard throughout the entire stretch, they did like Shadur Sanders. Now, I mean, Shador maybe didn't do the best interviews with the Browns. Maybe wasn't the best as far as presenting his best foot forward. But, I mean, I was hearing from people on day two that if at the end of the second round Shador was there, the Browns were going to trade up and try to get him at that point. So I do believe they had an interest in him, and they liked his football abilities. And for the same reasons why they liked Dillon Gabriel, it's probably a lot of the same reasons they like Shador Sanders. Like the other day, I heard Stefanski talking about what he liked about Gabriel, and I didn't know he was talking about Gabriel at first. I thought he was describing Shador Sanders because he was saying tough. He was saying accurate. He was saying all these accomplishments that he had, and I was like, he might as well be talking about Shador. So I get why he'd like Shador, because if he loves Dillon Gabriel that much, they do share a lot of the same traits as far as a football acumen and everything else.
So the trade that happened on Thursday night, I didn't love it for Cleveland. I thought, hey, Travis Hunter's there. He's a generational talent to me. He can walk in and be your best offensive player, second best defensive player. But I understood why they did it. I get that part of it. Where do you fall, and what's been the reaction from, you know, the fan base?
Well, so it made a lot of sense when we thought that the Browns are playing for the 2026 quarterback class.
Right?
You get as many assets as you can. You get another first-round pick for 2026. That way you have two first-rounders, and if you want to trade up to get whatever quarterback that is, you got some ammo to do so. And then the rest of the draft, they took two quarterbacks, they took two running backs, and they kind of flipped that up on its head. That's why, like, right now the conversation we're having is, what exactly is the Browns' plan for next year? Are they trying to win? Are they trying to tank or do a mini rebuild to get the quarterback next year in 2026? Like, what exactly are they doing? And I think that's the hard part right now, is none of it's really clear. And you throw in some of the people's jobs and everything else that we talked about already, and you see how it gets muddy.
Who is the starting quarterback week one of the Cleveland Browns?
If you made me bet right now, I'd say Kenny Pickett or Shador Sanders.
Hmm.
I think Shador will either win it in the camp and he'll be the guy right away, or I think it'll be Kenny Pickett, and then Pickett will struggle for 4 or 5 weeks, and then it'll be Shador, and you go from there. But I don't see the value in Joe Flacco getting any of these snaps at this point. I just don't. It makes no sense to me. And I get they like Joe. I get everything attached to that, but what's the advantage there? If you're about throwing darts on a dartboard, Sal, shouldn't you try to see what these young kids could do? So you can at least give them enough time to showcase if they have something or don't have anything.
I'm fascinated by that, because I think outside of Cleveland, you know, when you talk to people, I think the odds on would be Joe Flacco. But I totally agree what you're saying, and how if I was handicapping the team from your perspective, I'd say the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, like, again, and this is all about, in many ways, too, Kevin Stefanski showcasing his value, right?
Yeah.
You get no credit for Joe Flacco coming in there and having a 5-6 win season or anything like that. You just don't. If Kenny Pickett comes in there and that's your Sam Darnold, if he comes in there and that's your Geno Smith, look what happens there. We think about Kevin O'Connell as if he walks on water now because he had one good season with Sam Darnold. Like it can be reshaping to how people view you. And so I think all that matters. But I'm about playing these young kids. I really am.
All right, buddy, you ready for London this year? I think the Browns are going to London, right?
Yeah, no, I'm not. Yeah, I won't be going. I didn't go in 2017,
mm-hmm.
and thank goodness, because I watched Deshaun Kizer just absolutely faceplant and be bad at football. So I don't think it's worth the trip, but it sounds like a fun time.
Well, listen, I mean, the Bills are on the road schedule to go to Cleveland. I don't know. We haven't talked. I do the podcast with Mike Northover, the schedule maker, and I mean, it's possible they could still have the Bills going to London to play the Cleveland Browns. So we're kind of on the watch for that. It could be in Ireland against the Steelers as well. But the Browns have only played one time there, right? They played the 2017. They haven't really had these other international games, and I understand they haven't been a team that resonates, but you know, these teams have been going over there now, and I think they've only had one of these international games.
Yeah, just the one, just that one in 2017, and that's it. And think about how long ago 2017
yeah.
was. I mean, that was pre-Baker Mayfield is how long ago that was. It was the first year of Myles Garrett's career.
Like, that's right. That's right.
A whole Hall of Fame career, and the Browns haven't been back.
Pre-Josh Allen as well. All right, buddy, thanks a lot. I'll let you get back to what you got to do at home there, and of course on your show today at 2 on The Fan in Cleveland. I really appreciate you carving out some time today.
Thanks so much. Appreciate you. Sorry my daughter was loud in the background.
No, it's all. I love it. I love it. Hey, this is life, man. I totally understand. I've been there before, man. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, Al.
All right. Bye. You got it. Yeah, you got it. That's life, man. That's good. That's good radio. It's fine. You reach out to the guys. I got to tell you about the Browns. My daughter, she's yelling about his daughter had an opinion about the Browns quarterback. That's what it was. Should have said, what's your daughter's opinion about the Browns quarterback? He's going to be like, I think that she's going to tell you the same thing. Kenny Pickett or Shedeur Sanders. I get it. If you, Josh, ask most people outside of Cleveland, who's the starting quarterback week one, I think you're going to get a lot of Joe Flacco. Not everybody, but they're going to be like, oh yeah, all these guys, you can, because here's why. If you take Shedeur in the first or second round, you're going right to him. Now that he's a fifth round pick, how many fifth round picks just show up and start in the NFL? I don't care what their name is, right? So you figure he has time now to kind of get in there, develop him. And in the meantime, you can try to win some games with Joe Flacco, who's a veteran. And then Pickett is Pickett. I don't know. I don't know where he falls in.
I think it'd be really interesting to see if Pickett does get a shot at all this year. It's just like he's not been able to do it with two franchises now. I mean, granted, he didn't get much of a look in Philadelphia, but like Pittsburgh was just terrible. You know, like what is he going to do differently in just as bad of a situation? If not worse.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, you know, when he came out and he looked pretty good that first, you know, first couple games, the first game maybe, he was really on target, not throwing picks, and then he came to Buffalo and, actually Mason Rudolph came to Buffalo, but did Pickett play in the game? Didn't Pickett play in the game, the Gabe Davis game? I think Pickett started that game. You know which one I'm talking about, 98-yard catch for Gabe Davis? I think that was Pickett in that game. But then he goes to Philadelphia, obviously, he becomes a backup there, and now he's on to Cleveland. The Bills are on to Cleveland, or are they? Could be on to London, I guess. May 14th is the schedule release. We're going to be talking a lot about that over the next couple of weeks. Got a few minutes left here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Feel free to give a call if you want to jump in, get your opinion on Elijah Moore. Or tweet me at Sal Sports. Getting connected with our fans is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Back after this timeout here to wrap up your Thursday edition of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I'm a bit sad today, to be quite honest with you. This is me. This is my sad mood. This is when I'm sad, this is what I sound like, because I'm never like this. You wouldn't tell, right? I'm not really that sad, but kind of sort of I was for a little while when I woke up this morning, because I've told you before, I'm a Lakers fan. They're out. And this is how much of a fan I am. I did not watch a single second of the game. I told you, I root for the Lakers, but it's West Coast team. It's I'm like, all right, did the Lakers win? I, of course, want them to win, but I'm not like I'm a hardcore Lakers fan. I grew up watching them, rooting for them. I follow them kind of from the outside a little bit. It's the team I root for the most, but I am latching onto a few teams these playoffs. I love what the Cavs are doing. That's really cool. Love what the Thunder are doing. Really cool. And even the Timberwolves, they beat the Lakers. But
did you see all the posts from sports teams last night when they eliminated teams?
No.
It was incredible. The Timberwolves had some great posts of like taking shots at LeBron and things like that. And then the Caps also eliminated the Canadiens last night.
Yes, they did.
They tweeted out an edited photo of the Duolingo bird saying things in like French Canadian, and then in the bottom it said Caps in five, and they said au revoir in their like caption on the tweet, which was really good. And then the Panthers had an awesome graphic of a panther holding, they caught lightning in a bottle. So the Panthers holding lightning in a bottle in its mouth.
There's some creative social media people out there.
Sports
sometimes a little too creative. Like the thing that happened with the Patriots over the weekend. Oh my God.
Oh,
that was, somebody that was deleted very quickly. Don't worry. I'm not going to talk about it. You can go find it. We have the Panther sound here still. Do we have the Panther sound? Can you find it? We used to have the Panther at WGR. It was a big thing back in the day with Shope and the Bulldog. There was the Panther. Yeah, that's it right there. You should see the look on Josh's face. Did you know you had that in the system?
I think I remember Joe showing me this when I first started, but I forgot that it was still here. There's a bunch of funny stuff in this folder. I've also got a Viking horn.
Oh. Oh, my God. We got to do something with this next week when you're back. All right. You got to find some of these fun ones. We'll do it next week when Josh returns. I'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. We're going to play Kentucky Derby Survivor tomorrow with Evan when he's producing the show. We got Sabres Live up next. One Bills Live after that. Show up with the Bulldog at 3 here on WGR. Enjoy your Thursday.